This is Music Respawn. I'm Kate Remington with Nikola Yeremich, and it's so much fun to have a chance to talk with you.
Thank you for having me, and it's really interesting whenever I get the chance to speak to, you know, I don't get a lot of chance to talk on interviews regarding my work, and generally regarding my work on games, so it's always fun to actually, you know, have someone listen to me. Yeah.
It's fun for me, too, because I love, like, looking under the hood at the whole process of how a game score is created. So it's going to be a lot of fun to talk. And your soundtrack for Starpoint Gemini Warlords is, oh, it's just so interesting because you've used a lot of kind of old school synth. And then there's that amazing like wailing guitar and orchestra and chorus. And so, you know, first of all, I would love to know how you got your start writing for games.
I started writing for games 5 years ago. I started actually doing music when I was 16. That's my first like interaction with a musical instrument was when I was a kid, and you know, my parents couldn't afford to get me like a piano or a guitar. I, of course, in teenage years, I wanted to have a guitar, and you know, I just wanted to make that noise that's coming from the radio at that
noise.
Yeah. So I'm one of the last generations who actually know what a radio, real analog radio, is and what a cassette tape looks like. So I always wanted to do that, and then when I was 16 in my high school, my parents like said, okay, we're gonna buy you a guitar, just quit nagging, you know. So immediately when I started, you know, usually kids who start playing any instruments, they take up, you know, they take on a professor or a tutor, you know, and they're like, you're practicing playing like, I don't know, Star Spangled Banner and Twinkle Twinkle Little Star and nothing. And I wanted to do ZZ Top, you know. So I didn't want to get a tutor. I immediately started, actually, while I was practicing to play, I was reading books, you know, watching videos on cassette tapes and stuff like that. So I'm a self-educated musician and a self-educated composer, you know. I don't have a minute of music school, actually. When I wanted to apply for music school with my sister, the professors and the commission over there at music school in my hometown, they say like, you should be banned from doing music, you know. You are not the type of person who should be doing music, because I was out of control at that time. I didn't want to listen to advices and anything, you know. Just, it's still my point of view today that music is something, and art in general is something, that a person should discover by themselves, and tutors and professors are there just to, you know, point you in the right direction, basically. Mm-hmm. That's like their role in my eyes. But I started playing, had a band in high school, didn't work out as usual, you know. Oh, we broke up. Then I sold one of my guitars at that time that I had, and I bought a piano. I was 18 or 19, I think. And I look at me talking like I'm 100 years old and I'm 27 still. So, yeah, I think I was 18, and I bought like this toy synthesizer that I could afford, and I started composing my first tracks at that time, recording in, I think it was like a first version of Sonar or something like that. So I started doing that, and I always wanted to do, you know, that old school ambient music, like Vangelis and Enya and you know, Jean-Michel Jarre. I was into that at that time. And then I discovered when I was 19 years old, I started, you know, noticing more and more music in the movies, which led into me noticing music for the games. And my first game soundtrack that I heard was Halo.
Oh,
of
course. Wow. Yeah,
it was
start with the top.
I mean, yeah, I mean, I played games since I was a kid. I'm a 90s kid, you know, so, you know, Super Mario, Sega Mega Drive 2, and Super Nintendo were the consoles of my age, and first PlayStation. And the 8-bit music, I kind of just skipped over all of that. But the first theme that got me was the main theme from Halo. And that was like the pinnacle moment for me when I said like, oh, so, you know, this is something I could probably do in the future. I'm not quite sure, but I kind of like it and I want to go in that direction. So I, you know, practiced and practiced and practiced, and then I went to engineering school. I was a specialist audio engineer. So, you know, still I didn't want to learn music. I wanted to learn everything by myself. I didn't want to go to a music school.
Right.
So I went to an engineering school so I could learn the technical stuff behind the music, you know, to be like an audio and mixing engineer and all of that, and sound designers, which was quite helpful for me in order to learn, you know, the technical aspects of everything so I could put my creativity to a, you know, higher level.
Right.
So that's how I started out. And it was in 2012 when I joined the student section of the Audio Engineering Society, the AES, and I went out there, I applied for the student recording competition. Now, the student recording competition at that time was, you had four categories. I applied for sound for visual media, which is basically you do everything. You record the sounds, you do your own music, you mix everything. So I had to, I was also a sound designer and a composer. So I applied for that, and they told me that basically I could do anything that I wanted.
Wow.
So what I did was I contacted an anonymous friend who used to work with Blizzard at that time. I met him on Facebook, and I asked him, like, hey, would it be okay for me to take, like, a short animated section from StarCraft 2? To, you know, strip it from your original sound and do everything by myself. And he said, like, well, I'll have to check, but, you know, you should probably just put a statement before the video that the original sound and everything was done by Blizzard, and, you know, name the original composers and say that this is not like a financial, you're not making any money out of this, so you're using it as a presentation, you know.
Right.
Show and tell. So I was allowed to do that. So I did that scene when Sarah Kerrigan is left behind on the planet, and she gets surrounded by the Zerg and everything.
Oh, great choice.
So I did the entire sound. I recorded everything, like literally every single Foley effect, everything. I did that, and I sat down to do my own music. But I approached it. I don't have that video saved anymore, but which is too bad,
yeah.
But it got me really interested into sound for games and music for games. And I won the first prize with that. Because it was the jury said that it is something that they've heard for the very first time, because the music that I did for it was something, you know, it was orchestral, it was, you know, cinematic, you know, what was popular at that time. But that final scene when she realizes that she's left behind and she, you know, drops the rifle and everything, I just stripped everything from sound. It was just silence, and I just used a native Serbian singer, which is something closer to a Bulgarian singing that's quite popular at this time.
Yeah.
You know, guys are using it in a lot of games. So I used that, and it is something that guys from the States heard for the first time, and it was quite interesting for them. So it's what got me the first award. So, and then I got motivated again. And they told me, like, well, you know, you should probably, you know, apply for the next year's competition, but we're not sure that you'll actually go into the finals, because we are not usually letting the same student 2 years in a row into the finals.
Yeah.
So I said, like, okay, challenge accepted. So for the next year, it was 2013, I went to Rome. And then again, what I did is that I used a cinematic from another game, which was Mass Effect 3.
Wow.
The scene where Shepard leads the fleet of battleships in front of planet Earth to fight with the Reapers. So I did I stripped everything from the original sound. I did it all by myself. I, you know, stated that it's the original by BioWare and Electronic Arts. This is just a student project, because I was a student at that time.
Right.
So I did that again, and I was in the finals. And I won again. And Long story short, I did that five times in a row. So it was like 2012, 2013, and then 2014, which was in LA. But in LA, I did an original project, the animated short that I did. And then in 2015, I was in competing in Poland with my very first game, original game, where I did the music. And when I came back from LA in 2014, I met a local developer here from Serbia. They're called Madhead Games, and they're a developer who works for Big Fish Games, who are like the biggest publisher of puzzle, of hidden object puzzle
right.
adventure games and
yeah.
everything. So I started working with them at the end of 2014. The first game that I did with them was called Maze Subject 360, which is like a psychological horror thriller type of point and click adventure.
Yeah.
Because I was doing a lot of horror movies for local film directors here in Serbia. So I was on my home turf, sort of like, you know.
Yeah.
So it was quite interesting for me for the first time to, you know, learn to compose music in loops, in segments that can get interchanged and everything. So it was quite challenging for me at the first time. But then I'm a quick learner, so I get used to stuff pretty fast. So I went with that project to competition in Warsaw in Poland in 2015. I also won with that project, and that kind of like got me noticed at that time, you know, some Polish developers and some, you know, other guys that I met in Poland. And then I started mingling with other people, which and kind of like started expanding my line of work. But still currently I'm mostly involved with Madhead Games, and my first, let's call it a first big gig, was an online competition by CD Projekt Red, the creators of Witcher series. I think it was the end of 2015, early 2016, I think it was like that, when they posted on their Facebook page a competition for remixing the original soundtrack from The Witcher Wild Hunt. So I sort of like, you know, did that. And that's when I got involved with Marcin Szabilowicz, who is one of the composers from The Witcher.
Marcin's amazing.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a really cool guy. Both him and Mikolaj are really, really friendly. And I like when they, you know, share advices to us younglings.
Right.
You know?
I love what you did with that track, too, with your cue, because you kept a lot of those elements, that kind of raw sound that they had, but you gave your own spin to it, which is very, very cool.
basically, I'm a heavy metal guitar player. That's when I started, and I am a big fan of this folk metal genre, which is mostly it's popular in Eastern Europe, you know, Russia, Belarus, Ukraine, and everything. It's also, you know, in Western Europe, you have also big bands, but it's mostly based in Eastern Europe because they usually mix ancient Slavic music with heavy metal. So it was a really cool idea for me to do exactly that with the tracks that I was provided from the Witcher soundtrack. So I did that. I recorded some guitars and drums, and guys heard it. Martin and the audio team from CD Projekt Red decided that my track should be one of the chosen ones for the album. And that was like my first big involvement with a big project. Even though it's not an in-game music, it's still connected to a AAA franchise. You know?
Well, it sounds like it could be in-game music. I mean, it's very polished. Well,
yeah, that's how I approached it. Actually, I didn't want to do just like, you know, guys that are doing remixes mostly, and the common way of thinking about a remix is that, okay, let's use this and let's put some electronic beats onto it and let's do a dubstep and make a ton of blah inception sounds and you have a remix, you know. So what I did is I wanted to do something really original and something that actually, okay, so you're doing a game soundtrack remix, so you should approach it as a game music, so it needs to be continuous, you know. So that's how I approach it. And really, any place on the track that you cut, you can make an 8-bar loop out of it, and you can interchange it, and you can create a lot of others segments from my remix. So that's how I approach it, and that's still how I do, you know, music for the games.
Wow.
So that's what got me involved. And then regarding my involvement with guys from Bungie, Destiny 2 was a big moment for me when Mike Salvatore invited me to work with them. And it's really an honor because, first of all, I am a huge fan of Mike Salvatore. So, you know, when he called me, I was like, yeah, you know, Nick, we are, you know, thinking about, you know, doing this thing. He still didn't tell me what it was. Like, if you have some time, I would like to talk to you about it. And I was like, I was trying my best to stay serious, like, you know, professional.
Yeah,
I was like,
happens
sure,
every
me,
day,
you know, like, yeah, sure, let me like see my schedule in the next few days, we can talk on Skype. The moment when I sent that message to him, I started jumping like a goblin around my room. I was like, oh my god, I got a message from Mike Salvatore, you know. So it was really, really fun. But how I got to that is an interesting story. I think, Marty O'Donnell, if you're listening to this show, from the bottom of my heart, thank you for having the time to take a selfie with a random kid. So, yeah, that's how it all started. In 2014, I made my first trip to the United States. I went to LA for the AES convention, and I applied for the student recording competition over there, and I applied to be a volunteer of AES. So basically to have full access to all areas. I met Tom Salta also. I was one of the assistants during his lectures regarding the sound for film and games. And we got acquainted in LA as well. We're still good friends today. I mean, you know, Tom, I'm also a big fan of. I met all the guys that I'm a fan of over there, basically, and I became friends with them. And really, I appreciate everything all of them have done for me, like all the advices, all everything, basically, you know. Regarding the story about Marty O'Donnell, so here I am walking, you know, around the hallways of the Los Angeles Convention Center, and all of a sudden I see this guy that looks really, really familiar. And I look at the name tag, and he seemed like a little bit lost, like he's looking for his way where to go, into which hall and everything. So as a volunteer, one of my obligations was to point the visitors to the right direction, you know. So I rush to him, and then I see a name tag like, oh, that's Marty O'Donnell. And I'm like, you know, walking like, excuse me, sir, do you need some assistance? Are you lost? And he was like, no, I'm just walking around. And then I, you know, and then when I saw the name tag, I just couldn't hold it. I was just so happy. I said, like, I'm sorry, you should probably beep this. So I said, like, holy shit, you're Marty O'Donnell. And he started laughing. And he was like, well, last time I checked, yeah, I am Marty O'Donnell. And I'm like, sir, like, I'm a big fan of everything that you did. If it weren't for your music for Halo, I probably wouldn't have even started thinking about, you know, doing all of this. And I just told him, like, thank you for your music. And I asked him, like, would it be okay for me, if it's not too much, to take a picture with you? And he's like, yeah, sure, you know, come on right here. So we took a selfie, and I posted that immediately. I tagged him, and Mike Salvatore saw that. And then Mike added me as a friend on Facebook, and, you know, we started talking. He asked me, like, oh, I see you're a composer, you know, do you have some work that I could listen to? And I sent him, like, my early first demos, you know, and he listened to that, and he said, like, yeah, you know what, this is, like, really, really cool. I, you know, like to hear more of that if you have something. So I sent him some more demos. He liked them, and he said, like, well, you know, if the situation comes around, I'll, for two of us to work together, I'll, you know, give you a call. And 3 years after that, 3 years after that, yeah, after all of those changes in Bungie and everything, you know, 3 years after that, Mike sent me, 2 years after that, it was June 2016. Hmm. Yeah. Mike sent me a message on Facebook and said, like, are you available, you know, to talk about this project that we're having? And I was like, yeah, let me check my schedule. And then I'm jumping around my room. And we started, and then Mike told me, like, we need to sign an NDA. And then he told me that it's Destiny 2. I was overwhelmed. And I said, like, he didn't even need to ask, like, do you have the time for it? I just said, yes.
Sure.
So, that was my involvement with them, and I did some additional music, which was a really big learning experience for me to, you know, put my foot through the door of the AAA industry. And then that led to my involvement with Doyle Donahue on the upcoming, we finished the soundtrack, but I can't give you any details about it. But, you know, Doyle and I spent the last winter of 2017, the last year, we together, both of us as equals, composed, which was really an honor for me to work as an equal with someone like Doyle, who is also a big friend and mentor to me. So we together, both of us, did a soundtrack for the upcoming Warhammer 40K title called the Battlefleet Gothic Armada 2. Warhammer games always have these long names to them.
Yeah, they do.
Wow. We did that, and that's probably going to be released this year, as Tyndalos Interactive have announced. So that was, like, my involvement with Doyle. But, you know, one of my first bigger indie projects was Starpoint Gemini, and that project is something that's really, really me.
that must have been a huge deal for you to have your very first kind of solo soundtrack, right? So how did you get attached to the studio Little Green Men?
They're from Croatia. They're, you know, a neighboring country to Serbia. We all speak the same language and everything. So all of the developers from the Balkan countries, you know, like Serbia, Croatia, Slovenia, Macedonia, and Bulgaria, Hungary, and, you know, guys from these countries, they are all acquainted. They all know each other. And bigger developers, you know, AAA developers now are realizing the potentials of the Eastern European market. Wargaming has their developers in Eastern Europe for, you know, like the World of Tanks and everything. So we're starting to get big names here and big projects. So I met the directors of Little Green Men via Facebook, of course. Mm-hmm. Everything, I have Mark Zuckerberg to thank for, you know, for creating Facebook, probably, which landing me so many jobs, at, you know, for the past a couple of years. So I met the guys from Little Green Men via Facebook. We started chatting and, you know, we talked for like, maybe we started in 2015, we started talking. I saw their, you know, pictures and posts from GDC. At that time, I still didn't even know that there were so many developers around me.
Wow.
So I started, you know, like digging for more and more developers around here. So I got in touch with Little Green Men, and they told me, like, you know, we're developing this sci-fi RPG shooter space game, you know, and the previous two Starpoint Gemini titles were featuring stock music that they bought. And I told them, like, well, I'm a huge fan of EVE Online and the old Freelancer by Microsoft and other games like Elite Dangerous and stuff like that. So I said, like, okay, so let's see if we can do a sort of a original soundtrack for the game. They told him, like, you know, budget wise we will negotiate and blah blah blah, you know, the business side of it. But it was like the most important thing for me at that time was to have like a solo game for me, indie, that I can, you know, show to the people like really what I can do, and to create something original, which I'm a fan of, you know. So we started chatting, and I sent them a few demos in late 2015. They loved them. And it was in mid-2016 when they actually started developing the early access for Steam and everything. They told me, like, okay, so we're going to need 20 tracks, like roughly around an hour of music, like 10 ambient stuff, 10 action music, and a couple of themes for the menus and titles. And, like, can you do that? I said, like, okay, sure, no problem. And I was so into it. I don't think that I've ever done a soundtrack so fast. I think I did, like, you know, usually when I'm working on a movie, you have these tight deadlines and everything, so you tend to work fast. But for a game, it's usually a long developing process of months and months and months. I think, I'm not quite sure, but I think I managed to do the entire composing, arranging, mixing, and mastering of everything within a month and a half.
Wow. That's a lot of music to produce,
so
in a month.
Like,
yeah.
Basically, it was like basically one track on every 2 days.
Wow.
And I sent that to them. I was sending them each track individually, like a package of tracks, like one action and one ambient. And then I send it to them, and they listen to it, and they review it, and they say, like, okay, this is cool, go ahead with the mixing. And while they're reviewing it, I wasn't, you know, standing idle. So I immediately started working on other tracks, because I was really into this, because I'm a huge fan of Pink Floyd, of Vangelis. And basically, that's the soundtrack for Starpoint Gemini. It's like, if Pink Floyd, if David Gilmour and Vangelis ever did a music album together, it would have probably sounded like Starpoint Gemini.
Yeah,
you know,
I can totally hear that. And you roped in some really cool kind of old school instruments too. You've got a Moog synthesizer in there that like really helps with that sound. It's so cool.
Yeah, it was basically I used only one software package for that that I had from my sponsors, the local music store here. The guys gave me Arturia V collection of all the goodie analog synthesizers, and I had as one of the awards from my student days from the competition, I got the Earth Heckman Zebra, which everybody uses basically. But I created my own sound. I always like to create my own sound for analog synths and to save presets. And I had my mentor from my university when I graduated. The guy was really fond of me. Well, he still is, you know, he calls me from time to time to give lectures to students. And when I graduated, he wanted to thank me for like writing this masterwork and everything. He gave me his old Yamaha DX7.
Wow.
So he gave, and I used, which was like a revelation for me, like, oh my God, this thing is older than I am. And so let's see how it works. So I used a lot of Yamaha DX7 and Arturia synthesizers on it, and I had my Gibson Les Paul and my Fender Strat for the guitars, and that was basically the bulk of the work for Starpoint Gemini. That's basically the music that I like to listen to on my spare time.
Well, and I love how you kind of went back to earlier games just to get a sense of, I don't know, or find a sort of a direction, like Paul Ruskay's music for Homeworld, which I think is just one of the best space soundtracks ever.
That was the temp track for Starpoint. That's what the guys from Little Green Men, when they sent me, like, listen, if you can make this sound close to Homeworld and Eve Online, we're in business. It was really a refreshing and relaxing experience to work with them.
Oh, that's awesome. You know, there are a couple of tracks that really stood out to me. Rising Sun has just such an amazing Asian vibe, and you use a shakuhachi flute in that, and an absolutely gorgeous singer. Oh my goodness, her voice is just incredible. Is she local to where you are?
No, that's actually, that's a library.
Oh, geez.
That's a VST plugin that he does. Yeah.
Thank you.
the budget for the music was, enough to pay for my services. So I said, like, okay, you're doing everything. So actually, every track for Starpoint Gemini was an experiment. You know, usually composers have these big templates for the project that, you know, that they're using when you're composing for, like, I don't know, when I worked on Warhammer with Doyle, both of us had this big, huge orchestral template. We used almost the same instruments every time to have it, you know, to make the soundtrack coherent.
Right.
You know, each track, so it can be interchanged and everything. But Starpoint Gemini has this vast universe, really big open space to it. So I needed to create a lot of different, stylistically, they each track fits, but, every track has something different. Like, for example, two sides of the coin, you know, you have is very different from The Rising Suns and one of my favorite tracks, The Frontier. You can feel that old school analog ambient sound, but every one of them has, like, pink David Gilmour-ish guitars to it. Rising Sun has this vocal and Asian vibe to it. Some of them have this huge washy choirs to it. They're featuring, like, electric cellos and things like that.
Yeah.
So we really needed to create various areas of the universe of Starpoint Gemini, because every time you go through a different section in the game, you're interacting with either a different alien race or a different faction of, like, space pirates or smugglers or something. So music needed to kind of, like, represent them as a, you know, faction. So that's why everything is kind of like the same, but still very, very unique, personal to each track, you know.
Yeah, you can tell. I mean, I can tell that it's all the same composer, but you're right. Because every track has kind of a different quality to it, it keeps it really interesting. And the other track that really jumped out to me is Jump the Gun, because mm-hmm. of just, yeah, that kind of wall of sound and the drumming. The drumming's amazing.
Oh, it was all digital.
That's incredible. How do you get started creating something like that? I mean, do you like lay down a bass, like a rhythm track, and then layer things on top of it? Or I'm just curious about what your process is.
I usually, you know, sit down and look at the blank slate. Then I start crying like a little girl because I have absolutely no clue what am I supposed to do. And then I, you know, after maybe an hour of two of panicking, I just sit down and play the first thing that pops to my head, and then I start going from that. You know, it all depends. You know, if it's an ambient track, for example, regarding Starpoint Gemini, I usually, the ambient tracks, I was working like this. I usually try to find a good sound, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Sit down on a synthesizer, start tweaking the knobs and everything, and I find the sound that inspires me. And then I play a few chords, and then, you know, I arrange that, and then I just start layering other sounds on top of that, just to create this huge ocean of sound, basically, regarding the ambient music. And then I just start layering. You can see that most of the ambient tracks, they don't have percussion in them. A few do, but most of them are like, you know, you have just like one big drum hit which echoes in eternity or something like that. But usually ambient tracks are, I just sit down and experiment and I improvise. Most of the ambient tracks for Starpoint Gemini are my own improvisations of, you know, various synth sounds that I created. And then I started tweaking that, you know, to see if I can create. And luckily enough, it worked like that. And regarding the action music, yeah, I usually lay down, put a good percussion layer, find a sound that will drive the track if it's like big percussive, big drums, and then I layer them with something smaller or some electronic percussion on top of that, and then I sidechain it with heavy distorted basses or just like low end, you know, Moog type of basses are sequenced and arpeggiated, and then on top of that I just put either the orchestra or some guitars, and I think of a melody. That was my workflow on Starpoint Gemini. When I was working on Warhammer with Doyle, it was fairly similar, but we were having ideas of, you know, utilizing these themes and stuff like that. That's basically, usually when I compose, when I do that, I usually think of a theme that's going to be catchy, like a melody that's really going to be catchy, because, like I said, I'm a big fan of Vangelis and of that early Hollywood, the golden age of Hollywood soundtracks of, you know, Jerry Goldsmith and John Williams and the early works of Hans Zimmer, when you really have to sit down and, you know, like you have those rememberable themes like from Star Wars, from Indiana Jones, from, you know,
right,
the 13th Warrior and stuff like those are like my favorite music themes from the movies. And composer Bill Brown told me one really important thing, which I will always remember, like, it's all about the good theme. Whenever you start composing, first think of a melody, think of something catchy that will capture your attention, and then when you have that, everything else is bread and butter. So that's basically my approach to when composing something bigger. I always, when I start working on a game, if, you know, if I'm a solo composer, I first always think of a main theme, save those leitmotifs, and then I just utilize them in other tracks. But most of the time I spent, you know, just creating the thematic material, and then I layer everything. I just harmonize it.
You make it sound so easy.
Well, it should be easy, because, you know, I am untrained musician. Well, actually, I am a trained musician. I'm not an educated musician, because I never went to an institution, you know, like a university or something like that, where they teach music in general, right, and music theory and everything. So I learned everything by myself. And basically, it is something how I, you know how DAWs look like today, like Cubase, Pro Tools, Studio One, everything. It's everything is so colorful. Everything is so, you know, cute and So I think of it, my approach to composing music, especially for games when you're working in segments and loops, is like you're building something out of Legos, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so you have this element and you have this element, and then you see how the two of them work together, how they look like, how they sound like. And I generally, when I compose, the most important thing for me is to find a good correlation between the instruments and rhythm. And I'm not thinking that much about, like, oh, should I harmonize this with a major third or with a major fifth, or is it a natural this or that? I don't know anything about it. You know, I don't even read music scores. I just, you know, I can listen to it and I start playing. And if I like it, I know I'm on a good track. If I don't like it, well, I'm doing something wrong and I need to change it. So then I just start, you know, removing or adding stuff that I am missing or that I don't need. So that's basically my it's pretty abstract when you hear it like this, but basically I've been successful at it for almost like 5 years. So if it works, don't change it, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, you mentioned how many contacts you've made through Facebook and how many jobs you've gotten. So how can people find you on social media?
Well, people can always find me on Facebook, you know, developers, other composers who are interested in collaboration. You know, they can contact me via Facebook. Just find me as Nikola Nikita Yeremich on Facebook. They can find me on my website, you know, NikolaNikitaYeremich.com. So that's basically the proper way to contact me, the fastest and the easiest way, because I'm always online. Even when I'm sleeping, my, you know, Facebook is on, my website is active. So, you know, that's how I got my contacts. And really, gaming industry and gaming community is, even though it's a lot harder to get into it, you know, it's a closed circle of people, but once you get into it, everybody's opened up to you. You know, everybody has the time to listen to you, you know, to give you advice. And I've been very, very lucky to meet so many cool and open-minded people from the gaming industry on Facebook. I can only mention and say big thank you to Michael Salvatori, to Doyle Donahue, to Marcin and Mikolai, to Bill Brown, Tom Salta, Jason Graves. You know, those are the guys who actually, let's say, tutored me the most.
Yeah.
You know, I always, you know, I'm always, whenever I see, and to Jesse Harlan, of course.
Right, yeah.
And whenever I send a question, you know, I always ask them from something technical, like, how do you do this and how do you do that? And when you're asking people from the film industry, or God forbid, musicians from the music industry, the mostly musicians like players, when you ask them about some trick, like, how do you do this? How do you make it easy? Everybody's like, oh my God, I'm like, they're selling you the formula for Coca-Cola, you know? Like, no, like, you know, I had so many good conversations with Jason Graves regarding EQing and compressing and adding proper reverb to stuff that basically the guy is so open-minded, and you can always ask him a question about it. And he always pointed me out to, like, hey, check out this plugin or check out this device. Probably, you know, I've used this on that and this, you know. So that's what I like, and that's how I learned a lot of things, you know, from the technical side. And they were always, you know, also kind enough to point me in the right direction, you know, like who to ask and who to talk to when it comes to, like, probably getting my foot through the door. So my best advice to young composers who wanna get into game music is basically get a Steam account, log into Steam, and just start browsing through games, and you will find, or Google Play Store, you know,
Yeah.
if you're into mobile gaming, just find the games, see what's take a look at what's popular, and then you go and find the developer and send them an email. You have 50. What's the worst thing that can happen? They can say no. And, well, you can always succeed from, you know, try a million times. A million and first time will probably work, you know. So that's how I usually always start. You know, I always send an email. Just stay in touch with the guys and let them know that you're around.
Yeah, that's awesome. Nicola, it has been so much fun talking with you, and I wish you the best of luck in the future, and I'm so glad
you've
got projects that we can look forward to listening to. So thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. It's really been a rather refreshing experience to talk to someone about music for games, and I really wish you the best of luck with your show, because I've been a fan of it for quite some time, and I've been listening to a lot of interesting interviews from you. So it's really, let's call it, I can freely say that it's been an honor to be one of the guests of this show.
Oh, thank you so much.